Hi everyone, my name is Jeremy. If you don't know me, please join me as I pray for us. Father God, as we sing these songs to you, as we hear your word read, it is so easy to be here. But then there's tomorrow. And the day after, and the week in between Sunday to Sunday. And as we live in the week, sometimes we feel like we just want to despair. We feel like overwhelmed. And so, Lord, we ask that you would meet us in your word today. We ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would help us to hear your voice in your word so that we might be comforted in our despair, so that we could trust you when we're overwhelmed. Please be with us today and give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enough! No more! Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that about life? The more of life you go through, you just want out. We can feel like this when life gets overwhelming. We can feel like this when the demands of life keep rolling in, like the waves breaking on the shore, relentless, always asking us for more and more. When life doesn't go to plan and you don't know what to do next, when the pain of life is just so great, what do you do? What do you do when you feel overwhelmed and life is proving too much for you and more than you can handle? Well, if this is you, then today God wants to speak to us, all of us, where we're at. God wants to bring us comfort. And so we pick it up in Psalm 55. The psalmist is distressed. You can feel his anguish, the strong language of his despair. He is distraught and in agony. He's feeling overwhelmed, and so he cries out to God. Verse 1, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me." But how did he get here? How did things get so bad? In his book, Dangerous Calling, Paul Tripp writes about how at any point in the day, we are all in a conversation with ourselves. It's a conversation that no one else knows about and no one else is allowed into, but it's happening all the time, even as we go about our daily lives. He says, "No one talks to you more than you do. Whether you realize it or not, you are in an unending conversation with yourself." Maybe this is something you've never heard before, but it's true, isn't it? Whether it's, "I'm hungry, I can't believe he just did that, how embarrassing, this shirt is so uncomfortable, I'm late again, she's annoying, I hope no one saw what I just did." We're always talking with ourselves. We all have a conversation that's churning away inside of us. And it's a conversation that so often ends up being about our worries, our fears, our hurts, our grumblings, our disappointments, our questions about the future, what happens next. And it's the same conversation on repeat over and over and over again. For me, I found what I like to talk about most to myself is what I'm worried about. Worry is what takes up most of my headspace. I wouldn't say I'm a very creative person, but man, when I get creative, when I get talking to myself, you know, when I get talking to myself about the things that are coming up or due, deadlines, you know, things that are about to happen but haven't happened yet. And I start to rehearse in my head the what ifs, all the different possible scenarios that may or may not happen. And it's a very dangerous place to be, when the only person that's speaking to you is you. Because when the only person you're in conversation with is you, you will always be in the right. Do you notice that? You will always feel justified in what you just did. But you can see the problem, can't you? You know, if I'm the only one who is speaking to me and all I talk with me about me is my worry, I begin to see things a certain way. I start to believe everything I say as what I imagine becomes more and more convincing, and it starts to feel like reality, the way things are. And as God's word, which declares to me who God is and what he has done in Jesus, and that he's with me, as his voice is drowned out, I end up only hearing one voice, my voice, the voice of my worry. And when worry takes over, it can feel like there is no way out. It feels overwhelming. I wonder if you have similar conversations with yourself. What happens when I finish school? What happens if I fail? What happens if I lose my job? What happens if my kids don't make it into that school or this school? What happens if I let him down again? What happens next week when I'm not there to pick up the pieces? Well, this is what happened to the psalmist. He says in verse 2, have a look, my thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. He's despairing. The psalmist feels exasperated by the turmoil of what's going on inside of him. The running, unending, internal conversation between him and himself. And he's suffocating. And so he's come up for air. He prays to God, saying, God, this is all too much for me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not be far away. Turn your ear towards me. Hear my cry for help. Friends, be careful. Be careful when the only one speaking into your life is you. Because you need to hear God is faithful to his promises. You need to hear the depths of God's love for you. You need to hear that God is good. You need to hear that God is in control so that you can see through the mud of your fears and your worry. In the pits of your despair, especially when you don't feel like it, when the darkness is relentless and it won't let go of you, in any way you can, begin to let God and his people speak God's words of life to you. Until you believe it again. Even if it's not today, then by his grace, maybe tomorrow. But now as we keep reading, we find out what's brought the psalmist to this point of inner turmoil. You know, often it's what's happening around us which brings out or amplifies the turmoil that's already going on inside of us. And it's the same with the psalmist. Here we learn it's wicked people. The wicked people around him, his enemies who are out to get him and hurt him, that have left him troubled and distraught. Starting from verse 2, my thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. Why? Verse 3, because of what my enemy is saying. Because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and assail me in their anger. In verse 9, we find out that the psalmist is distraught by the wickedness of his city. I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. But what's been most troubling to him, you know, what's really shaken him up and broken him is not an enemy, but one of his closest friends. A friend who is so dear to him that he says about him in verse 13, but it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship with at the house of God as we walked among the worshippers. But now this same friend has betrayed him. He's become someone who, in verse 20, attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Now, we're not sure exactly what the psalmist is referring to here. We aren't told what's happened. You know, in other psalms, for example, in Psalm 54, just the one before, Psalm 55, the psalm actually begins with, "For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, 'Is not David hiding among us?'" But in Psalm 55, we're not told. And the reason, as one commentator puts it, is it leaves room for those who subsequently use the psalm to insert their own specific problems. The psalms are supposed to be used by God's people. And I hope that's what you find yourself doing so far as we walk through Psalm 55 today, that you put yourself into it, or you remember times where you have felt overwhelmed or in despair. Or even if not now, that you will save up this psalm for later. You know, when the time comes, and it will come when you are despairing of life and you are feeling overwhelmed. Make your home in the psalms, stay in the psalms, and find words here which articulate your experience, which give words to how you feel. Find in the psalms the songs of your heart when you feel like the world is against you, and find comfort that you might go on one more day, just one more day. Trusting God's goodness, His sovereignty, and His perfect will. That's how to use the psalms. But if we keep going for now, we will find out how the psalmist responds. How does he respond to the inner turmoil that's going on inside of him and the outer turmoil that's going on around him? There are usually two ways that we respond when we find ourselves in a conflict with someone, when things don't go our way, when we're in danger, when we're facing adversity or difficulty, when we have to make a hard decision. We do two things. We either stay and stick it out, or we run. We hide. We avoid. Fight or flight. That's what we all do. We either do one or the other. It's the decision we have to make when we need to tell a friend something that they probably won't want to hear. It's the decision we have to make when we are given responsibility. Sometimes. It's the decision we have to make when we're about to be held accountable to what we've done. It's the decision to embrace what's coming our way, or to do all that we can to run away and hide. But most of us, faced with a choice, we often want to run away, don't we? And this is what even the psalmist wishes he could do, because things are so bad. He's in so much anguish. He is so overwhelmed by fear and trembling. The burden is so heavy for him. His enemies are pressing in on him. The hurt he feels because he has been betrayed by a friend he once trusted and loved is so painful that he wants to run. He wants a way out because it's all too much for him. And he's concluded that his only way out is to run away. To run away as far as he can. Have a look at verse 6. This is the psalmist speaking. "I said, 'Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert, Selah. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm.'" Isn't this so often what we want to do? To run away. To escape. To get out of the pain of our lives. Because the pressure and the expectation of study, of work, of family, of church, of relationships is too much. The kids won't stop mucking up. The wife or husband is demanding more and more. The ministry is disappointing and slow. The boss is driving me harder and longer. The project at work is never ending and is becoming more and more complicated. The relationship is strained. And we're ready to throw in the towel, to give in, or give up. But can I gently stop you there and ask that with me, we keep reading? Because this is not where the psalmist ends up, is it? No, he doesn't linger here. He doesn't stay here where the demands of life swirl around him until he gets too much and he begins to feel like there is no way out. is never going to be better. It will always be this way. God has forsaken me, and Satan has come to taunt him, condemn him, fill him with doubt, mock him, and say to him, do you think God wants anything to do with you now? At this point, he screams out, enough. Enough. And he calls on God. In his brokenness, in his feelings of confusion and hopelessness, in his despair, overwhelmed by life, he asked the Lord in verse 9, Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Verse 15, let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. And way back in verse 1, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. Verse 16, as for me, I call to God. He even tells others in verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord. And verse 23, but as for me, I trust in you, God. He doesn't run away. Even as every bit of him is begging him, run. Let's go as far away as he can. He stays and he trusts in God. You know, it's interesting. When hard times come, our prayer is often, God, God, please get me through this. And I wonder if we've ever realized what we're actually asking when we pray this prayer. God, get me through this. You know, we didn't pray around this. God, get me around this. I want to avoid this. We didn't pray, God, get me out of this. God, make my problems go away, which I think is what we actually mean. But we prayed, God, get me through this. God, please get me through this. And this is what the psalmist prays, and it's often how God works. And so the psalmist calls to God. He casts his cares on God. He trusts in God. Even though all he wants to do is run and hide, he turns to God. He prays, God, get me through this. Because he knows who God is and what he has done for him. He remembers how God has been faithful to him before, and so he can be sure that he will be faithful to him again. Starting from verse 16, the psalmist reminds himself why we can cast our cares on God. And the first one is this, because God is the one who saves, who rescues, who delivers us out of our despair. Even when the night is long and the dark is, it feels like it's there to stay, God will surely come. Verse 16, as for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me. The second thing is God is the one who hears our cries of distress. He listens. He knows our pains well. And he is with us. He has not turned his back on us. He has never left. He sees our circumstance. What feels like his silence is not his absence. Verse 17, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress. Why? Because, and he hears my voice. God hears my voice. The third reason, and God is the one who rescues, pulls us out of the raging battle unharmed, and protects us from our enemies. Verse 18, he rescues us unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. Fourth one, God is the one who is in control. He holds all things together. He brings things to pass, and he doesn't make mistakes. Verse 19, God who is enthroned from of old. And fifth, God is the one who will bring judgment on the wicked. He will not let them go unpunished. Justice is with God. He will make all things right. He will vindicate the righteous. Again, verse 19, speaking about the wicked, he will hear them and God will humble them because the wicked have no fear of God. Verse 23, but you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. And sixth, finally, because God sustains. He never promised an easy life where you will avoid all hurt, pain, disappointment. But he does promise to us to bring us out the other side. He promises to give us all that we need, and he will never let us fall. Verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. The psalmist calls to God. He casts his cares on God. He trusts in God. Why? because God will save him, because God will hear him, because God will rescue and protect him, because God is still enthroned and he's still in control, because God will bring judgment on the wicked and vindicate the righteous, because God will sustain him. He will keep him. And for me this week, it was so hard to prepare to preach this psalm. Because in my worry about what's next for Kezia and I as a family, as study, church planting, relationships, I'm not where the psalmist is. I can't even bring myself to verse 1. To cast my burdens on the Lord, to pray to him, to trust him, to pray to him when I feel overwhelmed, when I'm despairing of what's going on, when I feel like things are most out of my control. I don't want to go to God. And I wonder, maybe is it because I don't believe God is all who he says he is? Maybe it's because I don't believe that God is the one who saves, who hears, who rescues, protects, who is in control, brings judgment on the wicked and sustains, giving me all that I need. And so I needed to hear this psalm. I needed to hear this all again. And so do you. Do you need to hear all who God is again? And this is where I want to finish today. You know, I started by asking today, what do you do when you feel overwhelmed? What do you do when you feel overwhelmed, when life is too much, when you cannot handle it anymore? You're losing your grip on life. Ever feel like that? What do you do? Where do you go? Well, the psalmist, he went to God in his anguish. What do you do? Where do you go? Well, do what the psalmist did and go to God. You see, I find this, we love to go to everything else except for God. We have so many places to go to make us feel better, isn't it? Whether it's entertainment to numb our hearts, whether it's a friend, a husband, wife who can give us words of comfort straight away, give us a hug, whether it's keeping busy to avoid facing the pain. We can read books instead of reading the Bible. Well, this is my favorite thing to do. We can keep talking to ourselves. That's my favorite thing to do. Trying to come up with a solution to our problems again and again. Rehearse scenario after scenario. But go to God instead. Go to God. Cast your burdens at his feet. Beat the door until the knuckles on your hands are bleeding. Until he opens. Drink his word. Feed yourself on his promises. Plant yourself in the Psalms. Until his strength, his peace, which transcends all understanding, his comfort, it rests on you. God will never let the righteous be shaken. And he will give you everything you need. Come to him and say with the psalmist, God, listen to my prayer. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. Because God is the one who saves. God is the one who rescues. God is the one who hears, who protects, who is in control. God is the one who brings judgment on the wicked and vindicates the righteous. God is the one who will sustain. And he will give you everything you need. Go to God. Let's pray. Father God, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray the prayer of the psalmist, that we might come to you and pray to you and cast our cares on you with full confidence that you will sustain us, or full confidence that you will rescue us even though the night seems long and the darkness won't go away. Lord, in times in life when we feel like things are out of control, when we are losing our grip on life, when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel anxious, when we are filled with worry, and that conversation that's going on inside won't stop again and again, scenario after scenario, worry after worry, fear after fear. Lord, especially in those times when your word feels far away, when we push out your people from our lives. Please help us to go to God. Please help us to go to you, to rest at your feet, to beg you to hear our prayer. Help us to trust you, God. And sustain us, God, especially those of us right now who are in the pits of despair, in the mess of life where we feel overwhelmed and it's too much for us. Please make good on your word. Keep your promise to us, to your righteous ones, that you will sustain us, that you will rescue us, that you will save us, that you will protect us, that you will judge the wicked, and that you will sustain us and give us everything we need. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.